Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon Tengwa. I'm Jim Galante. And our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Some great deals they've come out with, Landon. Number one on the list, a 2024 Ridgeline truck with rates as low as 1.9%. They also have great lease offers. They got the Accord Hybrid with interest rates as low as 2.9%. They even have Honda certified used cars, great selection of inventory. Some of those rates, they are as low as 0.99%. Yeah, you heard that right, 0.99%. Check out the Bobby Rahal Honda showroom. It's on West College Avenue. Or online, you can check them out at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. I always have to mention that Ridgeline because we know that is Landon's favorite vehicle.
It is, Jim. You're right. I'm eyeing it up. Hopefully one day soon, but it is my favorite time of the week. It's Landon and Jim versus the world, so excited to get into it.
We have so much to talk about. It seems like every week we always discuss this. Well, what are we going to talk about next week? Well, we'll see what goes on in the news. And then there's always so much news comes pouring in. And we started this show, Landon, because we wanted to talk about everything in the world of sports, not just Penn State stuff, but today, we're going to start with Penn State stuff. This week, the announcement finally came out for the whiteout game. And I know there's been a lot of talk about this. Would you dare have it in a day game, which is potential for Ohio State, but that would be at noon? Or do you keep it at night? There was a lot of talk about Illinois because NBC wanted that game for a night game. There was some talk of UCLA. So we had all that Ohio State talk, UCLA talk, Illinois talk. So the whiteout's going to be Washington. What do you think?
I like it. I think it's definitely outside of Ohio State, I think that's the next best game. As much as they did lose, they lost their head coach, they lost their quarterback, they lost their star wide receiver. They were still right on the brink of the college football playoffs. So this is not a team to take lightly. So I definitely like picking Washington. I guess my main gripe, Jim, would be, you know, number one, it'll still be light out when it starts. I think that has happened in the past before my time. I heard maybe there was one other time back in the 2000s that happened. But I guess the biggest thing for me is because it is in November, I am a little bit worried that not a lot of people own white coats, Jim. No one's thinking about that. I don't own a white coat. Do you? I'm just saying, if it's cold, if it's, you know, in the 30s, low 40s, you have to wear a coat. You know, some people can't survive that in just a sweatshirt. How many people own a nice white coat? I don't think that many. So I'm just slightly worried about kind of taking away from the whole whiteout part of the whiteout because we're going to lose some people. I remember the Ohio State game in 2022. You know, they were doing the white, you know, the sec by sections where it was white, blue, and it got kind of messed up because it was so cold. People were cold and they just didn't want to wear white. So it started to look kind of weird because there wasn't as many people just wearing white in the section that they were supposed to be wearing. So I don't know if anybody's thought about that, but that was just my first thought with it being, I think, November 9th, I believe.
Yes,
it is.
November 9th.
You know, I do in State College, PA, it very well could be in the 30s. So I just want to put that out there.
I think, Landon, we need to invest in a whiteout hoodie jacket. Okay. Good. That would be the route to take. I know it's been cold, some of the whiteouts, and people have figured it out.
Yeah, I think we'll figure it out. If the athletic department wants to go a good route, they should start selling white coats about a month beforehand. I don't know if they'll get some backlash for that, or people might get mad at them trying to get more money out of them, but that's what I would do. I'd put out some nice white Penn State coats because I do think that's a realistic thing, but I think it'll be cool. I think everybody, I always loved those like 4:25 PM start games growing up as an NFL fan when it starts out light. And then by the end of the game, it is getting tight. It's getting close. And then it starts to get really dark. That'll be cool. I like that idea of kind of how we're shifting into the darkness. By the time they come out for the second half, you know, let's say it's a 3:30 kick. I think that's post daylight saving times too, I believe. So a 3:30 kick, you go in at halftime, say around 5, come out halftime 5:20, 5:30. It's pretty much dark for the whole second half. So the entrance won't be as cool, but I think you'll still get a lot of that whiteout atmosphere, especially for the second half of the game.
Sundown for State College that day is scheduled for 5 p.m. or 4:58 to be exact. Yeah. So yes, you will have that. I think it was a pretty good compromise. And if they do start at 3:30 actually means more like 3:45 till they kick it off. And Washington, I think, being a different team, a new team, it's like having Auburn in a couple years ago. Having a new team do that is great. My big gripe isn't with the selection. Of course, it goes back to the whole Big Ten conference scheduling. You know, if Washington would be a good name, why could they not have scheduled Washington in October for a night game and really made the whiteout what it's supposed to be? That will be my gripe. But they also announced a couple of the others, and I've been of the mind, Landon, over the last couple of years, that the questions always come up, why can't they do multiple whiteout games? And they want to restrict it to one a year, which makes sense. Create that scarcity, make it special. I get that. Somebody came up with the idea. First, it was the stripe out, which they're going to do for UCLA. But the smartest idea, whoever came up with it, the helmet stripe idea, which they're going to use for Ohio State, which is the one thin blue stripe along the 50-yard line. So in essence, it's going to be a 98% whiteout anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always liked that. I thought it was a cool idea to not officially call it a whiteout, but it still kind of has that feel and atmosphere of a whiteout. Because it is. It's really difficult to play against that. The fans just go a little extra crazy when it is called the whiteout and they know what's at stake. But I'm just excited to see how these teams react coming from the West Coast, UCLA, Washington, coming all the way over from the West Coast. And it seems like those teams that are going coast to coast, I don't think they're going to really play any noon games, which is probably good on the NCAA for doing that. So it's probably all going to be 3:30 kicks or later for anybody that's traveling coast to coast. But Jim, I'm excited to see how these teams are going to handle that, coming from the West Coast all the way over here, getting adjusted, and then coming into Beaver Stadium for the first time. And especially if it's cold for Washington, they're not used to that. Not at all. So I'm really excited to see how not only the weather, but also an atmosphere that they're really not used to playing in is going to affect them.
Well, Landon, anytime there's a whiteout for the Penn State fan base, it's a special feeling. There's a special tone, even from the tailgating on. And it didn't matter who they played the last couple of years when they had Minnesota, Iowa for the whiteout. Let's just put it this way. For the fan base, a whiteout is special no matter who they're playing. What does it mean for a player for whiteout? What does that feel like?
Yeah, we feel the same way. It's just extra special because we feel it from the fans coming in on the buses, walking into the stadium. It's kind of just a different vibe. I will say, and I wanted to bring this up, how bad do you look upon, not bad, but you know, how do you feel about the fact that we had a whiteout year after year? It went Michigan, Ohio State, and now it's just like, you know, Minnesota here, Iowa here, blowout. Now we're playing Washington. Do you miss that whiteout against Ohio State and Michigan? Because we're talking about how much of an impact it has. And, you know, we need every little edge we can against those teams. Obviously, we're not playing Michigan this year, but we need every little edge against those teams we really haven't been able to get over the hump against. So, you know, are we losing out a little bit with our whiteout? Are we not using it to its full potential? I think that's a fair question to ask.
It is a very fair question. As a fan, the one I probably have a little bit different take on it than most people, because I think Ohio State is going to be special atmosphere no matter what. I think the bigger issue in playing Ohio State that lessens the atmosphere is that it will be at noon instead of at night. Okay. Mm. There's something a little special about a night game. But I think whether you designate it a whiteout or not, and like I said, I kind of like this, you know, helmet stripe idea. The atmosphere for Ohio State, if Penn State could get to that game undefeated, and so can Ohio State, Landon, that atmosphere is going to be crazy. And even, you know, if it's one of the team has a loss, perhaps even if both teams have one loss, it will still be a crazy atmosphere. So, and this is just, I'm looking at it from an atmosphere game day experience basis. The Iowa game, the Minnesota game, they were special from a fan experience, more so than they would have been if it were just Iowa or Minnesota. And again, part of it is both those were, of course, night games.
Yeah, I agree. And hey, look at, you know, they were both pretty much blowouts, the last two whiteouts. But maybe if we played those teams at noon and it wasn't a whiteout, who knows? Maybe we slip up a little bit. Maybe we're not, you know, all the way ready or, you know, mentally there, whatever it may be. So I think you're right. It does give that clear advantage. But I guess I'm just, you know, as a recruit, I always came up I would look for the whiteout. I'd say, okay, am I playing on a Friday night, Saturday? Can I make it to this whiteout game? And like that was my end all be all as a recruit. I was trying to get to that whiteout game, and it was always against Ohio State 2018. Then, you know, that was my sophomore year, and then my junior year in high school. Then it was Michigan, where we beat them in 2019. So I just have a lot of good memories. So I guess just as a player, I mean, Auburn was cool my freshman year, but to me, it just kind of sucked that we never got an Ohio State or Michigan in my time as a whiteout, because I just thought that was so cool. That was Penn State. That's what it meant. So I got a bone to pick with the people over at Fox with this damn big noon stuff that they got going on, Jim. I don't like it. It's all about money, which we're going to get into a little bit about scheduling and times. We're going to talk about that in a second when it comes to playoffs, which I'm excited to get into. But, man, we need to start putting that stuff aside and doing what's best for the fans and what's best for college football. And I think that is a night Ohio State whiteout. Obviously, I know we're not getting it. It's not going to happen. Fox wasn't going to let it happen. But I just think there needs to be more of a drive from the NCAA to be purposely putting teams in the best positions where the fans want to watch that the most. And it's to be, you know, being able to be the most viewed game possible, Jim.
I agree with you 1000%, Landon. And when we come back, I am going to give you my salty Jim take on it. Our listeners have heard it before. I don't care. You're going to hear it again from me when we come back. So stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. Landon, when we finished up quarter number one, I said Salty Jim would make his appearance. That's going to be right now, Landon. You brought up the NCAA should be doing it. It's not the NCAA. It's the conference and the television networks, mostly the conference. As I've said repeatedly, year after year, when ABC and ESPN had the contract for the Big Ten, and they would put their biggest games on at night, that was their version of Fox Noon. It was at night for the biggest games. Didn't matter. Michigan and Ohio State would play at noon no matter what. Why? Because that's what Michigan, Ohio State, and the Big Ten Conference wanted, and they made sure it happened, Landon. That same group, the Big Ten Conference, and Penn State. I give Penn State some heat. They say they're now going to do it. Well, it's a little late. You knew this was coming. This should have been the discussion with the Big Ten before the season. give us a big game in October and play it at night. I know you have Fox. Don't care. Fox, if you want to put it on at night, great. This game's going on at night. It's the whiteout. And if you don't want it, we know NBC will take it for their primetime game. There you go, Landon. That's where the problem is.
I like the take, Jim. Unfortunately, everybody goes where the money is. And Fox, I guess they were offering the most money. So we will be playing those dreaded noon kickoffs. And by the way, for the most part, if it's a big game, the players want to play a night game too. I will say, for the most part, if you're playing like an Iowa, I mean, Iowa can be good, but if you're playing kind of like a scrub team at night, it's awful because you have to wait all day in the hotel and you're like, dude, I wish this was a noon kickoff. I just want to be done, play the game, beat their butts and get home. But when it's like Ohio State and Michigan, you kind of want it to be a night game. It's just different as a player. So from a player standpoint too, we want the night games for those type of high level Big Ten games. So hopefully we can see that in the future. I really would hope. I think that'd be in the best nature of college football to get those big time games back at night where they've been for ages.
And again, the whiteout is different than everything else. It's unique and it should be at night. Now, you alluded to this, Landon, that it's television, driving the bus, it's money, and so on. And we got a little bit of evidence of that where I guess the head of the college football playoffs came out and said, when they do the playoffs, and remember how this works, conference champions get the top four seeds. So essentially it will be the Big Ten winner, the Southeast Conference winner, ACC and Big 12 winner will be seeded 1 through 4. Then seeds 5 through 8 will get a home playoff game the first week of the playoffs. And you would think they would seed them based on talent, skill, success during the season. That's the criteria, right? Wrong.
You would think so, Jim. So the College Football Playoff Executive Director, Rich Clark, came out and was talking about picking those first-round home teams, like you said, that 5 through 8 slot, and said that weather, hotel availability, and ticket sales will play a factor in determining those first-round home teams. And it sounds like a pretty significant factor. So Penn State could be, you know, that 7 slot. And they say, you know, not too favorable. Maybe we don't want to do that. Whatever. Maybe hotels are hard. We don't like that. We're going to bump them back a couple slots. They're going to be playing an away game, even though they deserve a home game. So you can really do everything right as a program, put yourself in great position, and then you're still put your then the NCAA comes along and says, now we're going to put you at a deficit. You're going to be playing away just because of extenuating circumstances that you really cannot control.
You know, well, first of all, it was a dumb statement to make out loud, Landon. Okay.
Don't say it.
What?
No, I'm saying him. If you're gonna do it, it's fine. Just don't say it out loud. You're absolutely right.
Right. Because my suspicion is those teams in those categories, especially when you maybe, you know, 5 versus 12. 12 is probably going to be that group of 5 team. That's going to be Liberty, someone like that. So you're not going to do that. No matter who number 5 is, they'll be the home team. Probably 6 versus 11 also. Where you get it tight is 7, 10, and 8, 9. And they're probably going to be close enough. If they're all 2 lost teams, you put one ahead of the other, it might be hard to argue. So if they did this, fans might think it's a conspiracy theory, but they would get away with it. The fact that he has now said this out loud, that's going to get them in trouble. Because if you have a significantly better Penn State or Michigan or Ohio State, anyone up north, and you take a home game away from them to put it most likely in a Southeast Conference team, LSU, Ole Miss, the hell they will have to pay, Landon, for doing that will be so great. And if you're the Big Ten Conference and have that happen to you, that commissioner should be fired on day one. if that ever happened, if he ever let it happen, Landon.
I like that take, Jim. I don't disagree. And I would, and I'll put this out there. Imagine a home, and it'll be a whiteout. If we have a home playoff game, yes, that's going to be a whiteout. I don't think there's any and ifs or buts about that. A snow whiteout game, Jim. Can you even fathom it? I mean, that would be electric. We got snow in the stands. We're throwing snowballs. It's a whiteout. Everything's white. I don't know. I think that would be, if that got stripped away from the fans where it was like, hey, we should clearly be 7, 8, maybe 9, and we come in at, you know, 11, 10. I don't know. You, like you said, I think you might have a riot on your hands by these Penn State alumni, and we're the biggest alumni association out there. So they're going to have a lot of people to deal with if they strip some type of home playoff game away from us.
And again, it is such a competitive advantage that you played and played well enough to earn it. And in fact, what's fascinating to me, Landon, is one of the first articles I read after maybe even before they finalized the 12-team playoff, but an article was projecting this. And part of the article was, and it was a national article, not, you know, a local homer type thing. It was first weekend, a Friday night game, and then multiple games on Saturday. And they were like, could you imagine if it's Penn State? It would have to be the Friday night game. It would have to be a whiteout. Could you imagine the TV audience for this? They are actually hurting themselves by not making it a Penn State whiteout game. So that's I can't fathom them doing this. And I tell you, Landon, I swear, if this happens one time even, there will be such blowback that it will never happen again. By the way, as a player, have you, I don't think so, but have you ever gotten a snow game at Penn State?
I have, not at Penn State, Michigan State, 2021.
That's right.
It was right after the Rutgers flu game. We won 28-0, but half the team had the flu. It was insane. We'll have to do like a 30 for 30 on that game one day. But the week after, I remember, and I was sick. I actually got the flu right after the Rutgers game. I was sick for like 3 days. I'm thinking, no way I play. I'm a true freshman. You know, I just played at Rutgers, but that's because everybody was sick. Well, it turns out Caden Wallace was still sick, and a couple other guys, stuff was going on. So I didn't get to practice at all that week. And Trout was like, yeah, you're still playing this week. Like, you're playing half the game. And it was so bad because me and Bryce Effner were splitting reps at left tackle. And so I was out there in the snow, but then I wouldn't play for two or three series. So I get my hand, get on the ground. I pay, you know, whatever, I'm pancaking someone, getting on the ground. That's how I'll frame the story, that I pancake someone. my hands go in the sheet of ice, and then your hands are frozen. I mean, toes are done. It was about 5 to 6 inches of snow when the game started, and we got our butts whooped by Peyton Thorne and the boys, unfortunately. So it was, yeah, that wasn't that fun of a game, but as far as did we win or not, but I that was my only time I've ever played in snow in my life. But I had a good time out there.
Well, we had a it's funny, as a fan over the years, Landon, and I've had these discussions with people. I've been going to Penn State games for over 40 years. To be honest with you, the games, they kind of merge into one another. It's hard to remember. However, you remember bad weather games. And that we reached the point where we'd say to each other, this is great with the bad weather because we'll never forget it. And there were a couple games, and there was a snow game where it was a crazy early snow, like a couple feet kind of snow prior to the game that week. And I believe it was against Michigan. They came in. I think they even brought the prisoners in. Help out. They shoveled off the bleachers themselves, but it's like, where does the snow go? They had like these chutes that they put in the steps to let the snow just like slide down to the field, but they didn't shovel where your feet go. So the snow was almost where your feet go, was almost as high as the bleacher itself. So, you know, if you could picture your knees up near your chest sitting on top of the snow, your feet were sitting on snow the entire game. So that was the coldest thing for us. But again, if you talk to longtime Penn State fans and you ask them about a snow game, they will remember it. The other one, just real quick, Notre Dame, freezing rain, Landon. which is colder than anything. You know, it's like it just goes through you, freezing rain, wind. It was the worst. Penn State crushed Notre Dame that day. I swear to God, not one person left the game early.
I love it. Yeah, those are always really memorable. And one thing I just want to circle back and throw out real quick before we end the quarter. SEC teams, a lot of them have played each other twice in a year. Georgia and Alabama, it's happened a bunch. When was the last time a Big Ten team has played each other twice in a year? Because we're all in the Big Ten East. By all, I mean the only really competitive people. Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. So it's not like we were ever meeting in the Big Ten championship, and then we never met up in the college football playoffs. So I think I'd like to see the stat on that. If anybody has a stat, I'll try to do some research, but let us know and comment. When was the last time a Big Ten team played each other twice in one season? I'd be really interested to hear that stat.
Well, the fact is now with the 12 playoff teams, it could happen.
Oh, it'll happen. Oh, and I think it'll absolutely happen now. I just think in the old format, I'm just curious. I just don't think it's happened in a long time just because the East, we know how dominant the Big Ten East was. It wasn't even close, so.
Well, for the conference championship game, if you assume or guess that Ohio State will be part of that championship game, remember, they play Oregon, Michigan, and Penn State in the regular season. So if Ohio State's in the conference championship game, most likely will be a rematch. All right, that's it for quarter two. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. He's Landon, I'm Jim, and our show is brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Some great specials going on, great financial deals. Ridgeline, that great truck, rates as low as 1.9%. Also have the Accord Hybrid, and also Honda certified used cars, a great selection, great inventory, and yes, even up to or down to 0.99% interest rates. Some fantastic deals over there. If you want to check them out online, go to Bobby Rahal Honda of StateCollege.com. You want to see their showroom and their great selection of Honda vehicles, just visit them at the showroom on West College Avenue. Right, Landon?
Right. And Jim, that's how I know I'm growing up. A couple years ago, I didn't know what any of that meant, interest rate, anything. So that's how I know I'm starting to become adult, man. You got a real world problems. Worry about those things.
Isn't growing up just the worst thing in the world?
It's the worst, Jim. It's the worst. And that's why it's fun to do this show, because, you know, me and Jim have we need to figure out what year were you born? I was born in 02. Not to put you on the spot. No, I didn't actually mean to do this. We've never talked about our age gap, actually, the exact number.
I don't mind. I was born in 1960, Landon. I'm a baby boomer.
There you go. So you're 38 years older than me. Is that right? Yeah, that's got to be right. Okay, sorry. That's it. Now it's out there.
No. Obviously, you didn't major. Oh, you're not a math major.
42. I went the other way, right? Would it be 42 then? Yeah, guys, I used to be a business management major, walked into my first accounting exam in Pollock Testing Center. If anybody knows, remembers Pollock Testing Center, it's not a good place to be. There is, not that I ever cheated, but there's no cheating anything. There's cameras at every turn. I walked in, I looked at the test. I said, okay, there's no way this is happening. I put C for every single answer, walked out, called my academic advisor and said, hey, we're going to broadcast journalism. And now I sit here today with Jim doing this, you know, in the whole media realm. So I guess it all worked out. So thanks to accounting, I am here talking to you guys. Appreciate that.
I want to share a story. So this, as we're talking about academics, I want to share with you my absolute favorite college story, college classroom story. I was a computer science major, okay? Back when it wasn't easy. It was a tester in a lot of ways. And I walked in first day of a class, and the professor comes up and says, "You are now entering computer science 415 or whatever it was. This is going to be the toughest class you take while you're on this campus. If you're not prepared to work really hard, just stand up right now and walk out that door." Somebody did. They stood up, walked out the door. The look on the professor's face was like, "Oh my God, I
didn't
really think anyone would do that."
I respect the courage. I respect the courage from the person that did it.
Somebody who was sitting next to him points out he was in the wrong classroom.
He probably checked the vibe out. He heard that. He's like, "This can't be the right class. This can't be my major. There's no way."
Probably a liberal arts major who couldn't find the right classroom.
Yeah, exactly.
And as soon as he heard computer science landed, that was enough, and he walked out. And you know what? I say that with zero apologies to any liberal arts majors who are listening to us. All right. Move on, because we have to move on, because you know what time it is, Landon?
What's that?
It's time for Landon's Stat of the Week.
I love it. Let's go. So we're taking a look for my Stat of the Week. Georgia's 2024 offensive line class. They have 7 offensive linemen committed in this 24 class that came in. They average 6'6.5", 345 pounds across the board of these 7 guys. So I'm going to list them off. We go 6'7", 371, 6'6", 365, 6'5", 345, 6'7", 335, 6'5", 315, 6'7", 335, and 6'10", 350, Jim.
My Lord. 6'10", 350.
The mini guy of that group, little guy, Malachi Tolliver, 6'5", 315. He's the little shrimp out of that group.
And that he has essentially your dimensions, right, Landon?
He does, yeah. About 6'5", 315. That's about what I was. And I was easily the biggest guy in our offensive line, I think, room pretty much for the most part. Outside of Olu, he was bigger than me. But as far as my class, easily the biggest. So that just kind of shows what Georgia does. It's a little bit different down there. Let's just put it that way. We, fortunately, here at Penn State, we do not have – that is that Southern bred group of men right there that we just kind of don't produce up here in the Northeast. We're just not that big, Jim. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they grow a little bit more because it's warmer down there. But, we do not have that.
I suspect it's the Southern cooking, Landon.
It might be. And when I can, I can definitely concur with that, because when we went to Auburn, it was some of the best food I've ever had. So I don't blame these guys for being up there. And those 365s, it's too good a food. I wouldn't be able to turn it down personally. So,
and that size. And what's interesting to me, and I will often tell this story, and how much bigger players have gotten. And since I was born in 1960, if you do a little arithmetic, you'll know I went to Penn State around 1980. Mm. And I could remember playing pickup basketball, and it would not be unusual for a football player to be there. And I was playing against an offensive lineman. He was 6'3", 270 pounds. 270 pounds, Landon. That's what they were back then.
That was probably massive, too, back then. And Jim, you were mentioning basketball and offensive line. I do want to say the last guy we mentioned was 6'10", 350. That is Jazeer Jackson. And I don't know if, more my age people remember this, but back when he was in middle school, he was the center for Bronny James, who is now in the NBA. He was his center on that travel team for like 3 or 4 years. And obviously they got a lot of coverage. Mikey Williams, who was like the top guy, one of the top recruits, Bronny James, a couple other guys. And so this kid, he went viral because LeBron would be at the games. And this kid at 6th, 7th grade was taller than LeBron. So he went viral. Basketball didn't really work out. And it just kind of came out it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. He went down, he did a camp at Arkansas, and was really starting to kind of come together. He made that switch from basketball to offensive line, which people were kind of, He's 6'10", 10, you know, is he too tall? But it seems like he's going to try to make it work at Georgia. So another basketball to football guy, not tight end this time. That's normally what we see. But in this case, offensive tackle. And he's got some quick feet. So, definitely in a good place. So interested to see how this Georgia offensive line is going to look. And I'll be curious to see their starting offensive line. Might be smaller than their 2024 class as a whole.
Goodness. You talk about in basketball, the space eater, the big guy in the middle. This guy would eat up the space. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, that is 100% true. And so while we're on the topic of Georgia, I figure that we will transition to something that's a little bit of a darker note. It's, kind of can laugh at it, but at the same time, it really is sad. According to the AJC, which is a news article or news corporation, there have been, I've seen 24, 22, but around 20, in between 20 and 24, 22 and 24 incidents in which an individual associated with the Georgia football program has been apprehended by police for speeding, reckless driving, or a DUI since January of 23. So we're looking at, I guess, about 19 months. Within 19 months, they had 24 speeding, reckless driving, DUI incidents. So they're averaging probably, about, I think that comes out to about 1.2 incidents per month. So Kirby Smart can expect a call once a month that one of his guys did something related with their cars, Jim. And I'm not going to say that this wasn't a problem before NIL, but these guys are getting some fast cars. You see down in like Texas and all these other places, recruits are walking in to official visits, and they have these Lambos lined up. They have Dodge Chargers. They have all these. I mean, that's what they're selling to a lot of these kids. And some kids haven't driven a car. Some kids are, there's a lot of guys here at Penn State that were just getting their license when they get here. Jim, imagine you just get your license, right? You are, you grew up in New York City, didn't really need it. You get here, you're a four-star. And they say, hey, you want a Lamborghini Urus? First car? Oh, yeah, I'd love that. I don't really know how to drive, but yeah, let's give me a Lamborghini Urus. Let's do it. I think that's a really good idea. That's a smart decision on the coaches, from the coach's standpoint. Nothing bad could go wrong. I don't see how that could go wrong at all, Jim.
What could go wrong? And, Landon, let's say this. Every college football program has some issues somewhere. Some incident will happen. You can't put together whether it's, you want to use the number, the 85 scholarship players or 100 guys on the roster, 100 young men, 18 to 21, 22 years old. You're probably going to have some kind of issue somewhere. The problem is when those incidents happen over and over and over again. So when you mention at Georgia, whether it's 22 or 24 of these incidents, and remember, it was earlier this year that Georgia had the incident, wasn't it this year, the incident where someone on part of the staff was killed in one of these incidents?
So that was January of 23. That was when that staff year and a half started, which was really terrible. One of the players that died was actually committed here to Penn State at one time on the offensive line. So some of the guys here knew him, had good relationships with him. So it's really sad. You see what just recently happened with the Vikings rookie cornerback that passed away. Him and two other guys, one player, A.J. Litton, that played here. They all went to Wise High School in Maryland. I knew a couple of them. So it's so sad to see that. Just for example, the rookie, he was a rookie cornerback for the Vikings. Passed away, like I mentioned, because of there was drunk driving, racing, that type of thing. About a week ago. Well, Jordan Addison, who is a second-year guy for the Vikings, wide receiver, goes ahead and this past Friday gets a DUI. So, that's just like where it just seems like people are not thinking enough. Like that is, it's right in front of your face. Your teammate just lost his life to this, and you're going to go out and do that same exact thing, a couple days later. I just wish there would be more learning from the mistakes. I think that is the biggest thing that everybody talks about. Now, obviously, doesn't really pertain to DUIs, but if someone makes a mistake, learn from it. I think that is the biggest lesson to take away, and it feels like that's not happening. and you're talking about Georgia with all these incidents, I feel like there's a lack of respect for Kirby Smart there.
It definitely. And we're going to pick up this conversation when we come back in quarter four.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to Landon and Jim versus the World, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to Landon and Jim versus the World. Landon, I kind of cut you short at the end of the third quarter. We've been talking about what's going on at Georgia, where they've had over 20 driving incidents. Incidents meaning drunk driving, reckless driving, so on. And this started, the numbers, the 20 incidents are from January of 23, where they had the incident where a member of the staff died in the incident. And you mentioned that it was shows disrespect for Kirby Smart, the coach, that these incidents are happening. Not that it's excusable at all, even the first time, but once it's happened, for it to happen again and again, I understand you pointing out it's the player showing disrespect. I'm going to point my finger a little bit at Kirby Smart. What is he doing to prevent this? How many times does this have to happen before he says, you know what? This is a trend. What I've been doing or whatever I've not been doing, perhaps I should start, meaning punishment, sitting the players out for games. And if they risk that kid hitting the portal, boy, that's better than these kind of incidents happening, as you said, over once a month.
Yeah, it is. I think there needs to be a precedent set by Kirby Smart at this point. Like I said, it's one of those things where everybody on Twitter is joking about it. But when we have a real conversation about it, it's not funny at all. These young men playing with their lives and have so much at stake. And they're not only playing with their own lives, playing with other people's lives. You know, there's that piece of it, too, where if you are drunk driving, you know, you are putting everybody else on the road in danger. So it's just there's just a lack of respect to me in that building. I mean, obviously, they've done great things. They've won national championships. They won back to back. So I'm not talking from a football standpoint, but it has this feel of like the 2008 Florida Gators, where they just didn't have a handle on it and they didn't really care to have a handle on it. And I just think that's disrespectful. If Kirby Smart is just saying, hey, whatever, you know, we're going to just keep it chugging along. If it happens, it happens. I think that's disrespectful to the fan base and really just college football as a whole. I just don't like that. I think there should be strict repercussions where it gets to a point where Kirby Smart says, you know, hey, a speeding ticket's one thing. If some of those may have been speeding tickets. You get caught going, whatever, 15, 20 over, you know, whatever. That's not really a big deal. But DUIs, reckless driving, I mean, he should start to really lay down the hammer on guys that are doing that type of thing and set a precedent. Because if you keep letting guys get off with it, guess what? That young cat that comes in is going to say, oh, you know, I'm not going to be worried about, you know, reckless driving, whatever. I'm going to go take my brand new car I just got from the NIL deal for a spin. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know how far Kirby Smart should take it. But, hey, if I'm the coach, I'd start threatening to take away guys' cars. You know, obviously, I don't know. Guys have a lot of money. They can buy their own car. But I would say, hey, if we have NIL deals with cars, you guys keep doing this, we're going to have to start to take a look at that. I just think there needs to be something done. And not to say that I'm sure he has addressed it with the team, but clearly it's not resonating, Jim. And I just want to point out, too, so RJ Young, if you want to go check it out on Twitter, I'm not going to mention any of the guys' names, but he put out a couple of the players on Georgia that got in trouble. One was driving a Lamborghini Urus. One was driving a 2021 Panamera, which just sounds nice. I don't even know, Jim. I'm never driving a car like that. Another was driving a souped-up Charger, a Jeep Trackhawk. So, I mean, these are cars that are meant to go fast, and clearly they are using them that way, Jim. So there needs to be something done. That's where I'm going to leave it at. Kirby Smart has to do something. It's funny to a certain extent, but it's really not funny when you actually talk about it.
Well, we had the situation last week where the star running back at Oklahoma State had an issue, a DUI, and Mike Gundy, the coach, said he wasn't going to sit him out. If there was going to be a punishment, he'll make him carry the ball 50 times, you know, in the first game against a bad team. And then he said something about, gee, you know, I've done that, or we've all done that, and kind of shrugged it off. Well, as an old guy, old enough to remember a time when, you know, he's right. Almost everybody did that. And we got away with it. We got lucky most of the time. And it wasn't the education, the messaging wasn't out there the way it is today. Rightfully so. So for a coach to shrug this off, it is the wrong message, Landon. And now I'm going to sound like an old guy, but I will say this. I'm you know, proud of you as a 22-year-old to be able to recognize this, that it is an issue and it is important. And at an age when you think, you know, no one could harm you, nothing could hurt you, you're invincible. No, you're not. No, you're not. And you're right. Yeah. Putting those very fast cars in the hands of very young men, boy, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good equation, but it's, you know, that's the world we live in. You're not gonna, these guys are gonna making a ton of money, and now they feel even more invincible, making millions of dollars. You're much more famous than you could have been pre-NIL era. So all of it adds up, and you know, seeing more and more of that stuff. So hopefully, you know, coaches can kind of get a grip on their players.
Fingers crossed for that, Landon. Fingers crossed. All right. Let's segue to something a lot less serious, but still serious to Penn State fans. Mm. You and I were talking about the issues where Penn State players specifically, although this is happening everywhere, they commit to a school, they tell you they're 100%, and the next day they're not. We've got more of that. It looks like there may be more of that going on with Penn State players, Penn State commits.
Yeah. So this is from a article. Keandria Baker, who is a running back commit that is out of the state of Arkansas, and he is a four-star committed to us in the 2025 class. And they were kind of, you know, nothing really going on in the article, but then out of nowhere, I noticed this. He said, I am keeping Arkansas in the back of my head. They still have a chance. After shutting down his commitment fully, I believe about a month ago, and then this article came out a week or two ago. So it sounds like Arkansas, and mind you, by the way, from Arkansas, he lives, his hometown is called BB, Arkansas. It's about 3 hours away from where the program is in Arkansas. So there is that staying close to home. You know, obviously, I have no clue. I don't want to make any guesses. Would I venture that Arkansas is probably offering him more money? I would, because Arkansas, let me just share the story real quick, is the reason that I really got involved in NIL here at Penn State and trying to make, if anybody listening, if you've been to any events I've done, that's in helping our guys out, helping them out in NIL. It's because I got on the phone, my boy Landon Jackson, big time DN down in Arkansas. And I actually asked him, he was like, yeah, he laughs about it to this day. Back like 2 years ago after the Rose Bowl, he's like, hey, a couple buddies down here, you know, guys are buying houses on the team. It's real good. NIL's been real good to us. I'm looking around. I'm like, dude, we're making, you know, pennies compared to that. I'm like, what? You guys are buying houses? So saying all that to say, do I know for a fact that Arkansas is offering more money? No, I do not. But through my experiences, can I infer that he's probably making more money if he goes there? Yes. So it sounds like the whole keeping them in the back of my head is probably a little dollar sign in the back of his head, Jim, outside of anything else.
Well, and we've talked about this. I did a show earlier this week with T. Frank, and we've talked about this topic a bit. This feels like, to me, Landon, the first year that Penn State is getting really hurt by NIL. And, you know, there's no direct, and we won't get this direct. Well, Penn State offered X dollars and the other school offered 2X. You know, we don't get those kind of statistics, those kind of exact numbers. But there is information that we have that you can start to put it together. according to one ranking of the best recruits coming out of Penn State, the top eight players in the state of Pennsylvania are going elsewhere. And it's not just, we always see this, like Ohio State will come in or maybe Michigan and cherry pick at the very top. But Penn State is losing recruits to South Carolina, to Baylor. They're losing, Duke. Even though the Baylor loss wasn't, you know, a Pennsylvania kid. Mm. But the one that really hurts is the number one player, a quarterback out of the state of Pennsylvania, is electing to go to Missouri instead of Penn State, Landon.
Yeah. I believe, I think it might have been the top tight end in PA also went to Duke. So we're, you know, we're losing to schools. Manny Diaz got us right there.
Well, I think it's a linebacker.
Is it a linebacker?
Duke, the tight end to Michigan.
Gotcha. Okay.
And some of these, Landon, and like every recruiting, it's an individual story. And any one of them, you might say, and as T. Frank pointed out, the quarterback, this Matt Zoller, is a real good fit for the Missouri offense. Well, I got to believe he's probably a real good fit for almost anybody's offense. And I suspect that wasn't the difference maker in him going to Missouri. So, and the story with the tight end is he was looking for playing time right away. Well, he's probably not going to get that at Penn State. Those kind of things happen and you understand it. But when it's the top eight go elsewhere, and when you see these direct battles, again, last week, a wide receiver. He's from Texas, mind you, but he, Baylor, Penn State, and I think even Michigan were his finalists, and he chose Baylor. You've got to think something is going on.
Yeah, and I would like to bring up, I feel like every single fan, and I'm kind of guilty of this too, when we lose a commit, you just go, oh, NIL. Damn NIL. We lost them again. We don't have any money. Yes, I will say that. I think that is a big factor. But I think there's other things that factor in as far as, you know, wide receivers not coming here. Do they feel, and I've tried to recruit plenty of wide receivers here to transfer here, guys coming out of high school, and there was a ton of dudes. And I would talk to like their dads, especially just trying to talk to everybody in their family. And they would just say, hey, we feel like this isn't somewhere where a wide receiver can come and succeed. So I know that's been a big boo-boo, is not being able to land those wide receivers. So I think there is some of that. You need to show it on the field. Like Kodo Nicky, this is his time. This year is going to be so big for the recruitment of Penn State football, because I think how we go from here, we're going to keep getting elite defensive players. Our defense is going to continue to be that top five defense. But as far as the offense goes, the offensive line is getting there. Coach Troutwine is bringing in elite dudes. He is making a great room. It's awesome. We know what we have in the tight ends, the running backs, all of it. The biggest thing is the wide receivers. And it's because that these recruits are not seeing a wide receiver just go off. It's just, since really even Jahan Dotson, I would say, is the last guy to really dominate at wide receiver for Penn State. So the lack of seeing that as a recruit, it's like, okay, do I really want to go there where no one, it's really, really hard to succeed as a wide receiver? Or do I want to go down to Baylor where we're going to, you know, play a ton, sling the ball around and play bad defenses? So I think Andy Kotoniki needs to do a great job getting the wide receivers involved this year.
Good point. It's a big year for this team. That is it for Landon and Jim versus the world. Join us next time.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership, with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.